Praise the Lord. Oh, this is awesome today. Well, I've got a message for you today because it's something God really put on my heart, and it's something that's really powerful for me. And He shared it with me a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, really, and I just thought, no, today's the day for me to share it. And it's something that it's just really powerful. So it's the Christmas season, and now some of the songs today were absolutely beautiful. And, you know, we've been singing about angels we have seen on high. And I don't know, at this Christmas season, we often think of the angels gathering around, and in all the Bible messages of when they came. And the angel Gabriel came as a messenger to Mary and Joseph, and, you know, different things like that. And we see a lot of presence of angels. And but I believe it wasn't just 2,000 years ago. We're aware of angels today, aren't we? And I believe there's angels around us all the time, and we just need to be aware of them and know that they're there looking after us. And sometimes they'll even come give us messages, you know. And but that's not my message today. I was talking about angels, but my message today is I'm calling it the social dilemma. And for me, that's a movie title, but it captures everything I want to say to you today. And it's sort of wrapped up in this generation of, you know, social media and everything else that goes with it. And we use communication tools here in the church, you know, to bring messages of communication to you, like Instagram and all those things, and they're right in their place. And I love that, you know, like even for Christmas, I used to post out 50 Christmas cards, but I can put a message on Facebook and goes out to all my family and friends with one greeting, and it goes everywhere. and I'm sure we all do that. But, you know, there's something about this social dilemma that I really want to share today. And don't get me wrong, I love social media, but there's a time where we need to have the spoken word of God, that we speak out to one another, and we need relationships. And this is something that's very much on my heart, and it's a message of encouragement to you all today. And the story I'm going to read out to you today in the Bible is about Mary and Elizabeth. Mary was the mother of Jesus. And I want to just wrap that up and share from the perspective of encouragement today. Now, encouragement means to inspire with courage, spirit or hope. And I'm going to share that one liner all the way through this sermon. And if there's anything you're going to grab today, it's going to be that, about encouragement. So, you know, I believe it's something that we need to see more often. You know, in lots of situations, whether it's with our family or our friends in the world, you know, our message and hope here as a church is to invite and welcome people to come to know Jesus. And I believe that's a word of encouragement to them. And are you willing to stir up that gift that's within you to pour in courage to people and to bring that encouragement to them? And it's an action of giving someone support, confidence or hope. So it's an action. It's an action word. And I believe this is my message today, is to stir up that and cultivate that gift within you, that gift of encouragement. And I believe it's something in this generation that we need to bring back to this generation. You see so much on social media and people texting each other and doing all those kind of things, but the spoken word of God is powerful when we can speak it out with life-giving words of hope and healing. And I just want to pray, just pray for this word today. That was my little bit of intro, but I just want to pray that God will take this word and bring hope and life to you, in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you, Lord, today that as I share this message, Lord, we just thank you that this is a message of encouragement and life, Lord. And your word of God is full of encouragement, Lord. And you poured courage into each and every one of us, Lord, and brought life. And I just pray today that you will take this word and use me as a vessel to proclaim that life-giving word of God to everyone that hears it, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're just causing hearts to be receptive and open to your living word of God. Now in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So like I said before, that encouragement is to inspire with courage, you know, or are you willing to pour into people's lives that courage? And I'm going to read a story out in the Bible from Luke chapter 1. I'll just turn to it. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26 to 56. So it's just up on the screen. But I'm just going to share a fair chunk of scripture to you. But before that, I'm going to share a little bit of background to this story before I start. And it's talking about the angel of the Lord came, the angel Gabriel came to two families. And the first one was to Zacharias, and he was a priest. And he was in the holy temple, and he came as part of, you know, he did his duty before the Lord. And he came and was able to, you know, minister in the house of the Lord and burn incense. And there was a whole multitude of people. If you understand the background to the story, there was a whole multitude of people outside praying because he was going into that holy place and, you know, things could happen in there, you know, and they were outside praying at the hour of incense. And, you know, the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias when he was in that holy place. And he was troubled, you know, just imagine it. You know, you put yourself in his shoes. You know, he was ministering before the Lord and an angel comes and speaks to him. And he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son." Now, this was a couple that were older in their years. And they'd lost all hope of ever having a baby. And, you know, here he is in serving the Lord in the temple. And the angels come, you know, and saying, "Your wife's going to have a baby." You know, which is, you know, and fear fell upon him. And he went into a place of unbelief, would you believe? And he thought, how could this happen to me? And the angel said, "Your wife is going to bear a son and you shall call his name John. And joy and gladness and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." And it talks about Zechariah. He just couldn't believe. He said, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And Gabriel says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place because you did not believe my word." And so I want to share a parallel here between this man that was serving the Lord. He knew the scriptures. He knew what was to come. And yet he in that time when the angel came to see him, he was in unbelief. And couldn't believe the word. So the angel struck him dumb, you know, and he couldn't speak. And I just wanted to share that background because there's two parallels here that I want to share because there was him coming and he couldn't speak. He came out of that place where he was serving the Lord and he had to use you know, something to write to the people and say, I can't speak anything. And, so he was in unbelief. And that he was like that for quite a few months until the birth of John. And but that's a little bit of background to that story. So the angel Gabriel came in the sixth month to Mary. So there was the two areas. He went home, Zacharias went home to Elizabeth, and she did fall pregnant and with John. And that was such an amazing thing that the word of God did actually come to pass. And we're going to take up the scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Amen. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Isn't that beautiful, what the angel's foretelling? And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the 6 months with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So we see a parallel here. We see Mary receiving that word of God and believing it. And she said, and she knew that with God all things are possible. In those days Mary arose, verse 39. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of our Lord Jesus should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And then Mary goes on to sing this song of praise. And it's that started then many generations ago, and we're still talking about it today. You know, from one generation to the next, we've got this beautiful song, and it's often called the Magnificat. And Mary said, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her own home. And I want to just go back here and show you at the start, you know, that's, you know, out of this discourse with Elizabeth and Zachariah, she comes to their home. And I want to dwell here on relationship that she had. You know, as soon as the angel spoke to her, she wanted to run to Elizabeth's home. And do we do that kind of thing with relationships? Do we want to run and see a close friend or, you know, that social media won't do that. You know, we can go to some of our friends' home and say, oh, look, I've got some good news to tell you. And, you know, it's encouraging when we can share that kind of thing to someone and share the good news of what's happened. But Mary did that. She ran to Elizabeth's home. I believe she ran. But she was a young handmaiden of the Lord. And history tells us that she was probably only about 16. You know, just imagine our daughters or my granddaughters, you know, having an angel come to them and say, you're going to have a child. But she was a virgin, and it was our Heavenly Father, the God Most High, was going to empower her by the power of the Holy Spirit, and she was going to have a son. And that son she's going to have was Jesus Christ that came to bring redemption and life to each and every one of us. Wasn't that amazing when you think about it? Just think about Mary, you know, just a 16-year-old girl. Hearing that news, so you'd be excited, wouldn't you? Or she was troubled at the start, but then she believed and she said, "Let it be according to the word." And so here was a young girl full of faith, you know, full of faith, full of the word of God. That she ran to see Elizabeth. And amen. And then it goes on and talks about. You know, Elizabeth, how Elizabeth came and when she heard the greeting of Mary when she entered the home, you know, her baby leapt within her with joy in her heart. And what a greeting, you know. And so that's where I want to bring in about encouragement, you know. Mary wanted to go there and bring encouragement to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth did the same to Mary, you know, and they poured courage into one another. You know, that's how I see that these verses. You know, this was a time of greeting for both of them, but it was a time for them both to be encouraged with what was going to happen. And Mary was a humble woman of God, you know, a 16-year-old girl that didn't know what her future held, you know. But she was chosen as a handmaiden of the Lord. And so I just love that, you know. She knew she was a humble servant and that his mercy was being poured out to her and to everyone that would come and behold the Lord in the future generations. So we've got today this song of Mary, and it's a song of hope. It's a song of victory, you know. And it's so beautiful when we can think of it that way. So that was the background of Mary receiving the word of God. And just one other verse in chapter 1, verse 68, you know, through this time, you know, the angels come, brought that message of hope to those people. And then Zachariah, when John was born, he was declaring to the people, he said, his name is going to be John. Because that's what the angel told him. The angel said, this son that you're going to have is going to be called John. And I just want to read chapter 1, verse 68. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And this is something, see, Zacharias got filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, you know, that, "Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come not just to visit us but to redeem his people." You know, we haven't just got Jesus coming and visiting us. You know, we can go and visit our friends and do all those kind of things, but he's come to redeem our life. You know, and today he's not just visiting you here. He wants to come and redeem your life again and again and bring healing and life. So praise the Lord. So it's beautiful when we can consider these things, you know, that of what Jesus did for us, and that he came full of grace and truth. And I just want to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 14. And it says here, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I just wanted to share that today because Jesus came full of grace and truth. You know, so from that message that the angels shared to Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias, and that word was fulfilled. They believed the word of God, and it was fulfilled in their lives. And now the word has become flesh in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. And we have that going down from generation to generation. We're recipients of that grace. You know, Jesus came full of grace and truth. And I'm just wondering if, we can put those pictures up of my grandkids. I just wanted to show you today that a lot of you don't know about me, but, I've had a beautiful family of six children, and I've got 10 grandchildren. This is my grandson, and some of my grandchildren came together during the week, and we made gingerbread houses, and I just thought I'd let you see. I've got 10 grandchildren, all in from the age of 25 to four years old. And they're all beautiful. They're just little treasures. But, you know, when I was 10 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. And I thought, Lord, what are you going to do with my life? And but I knew I had he had a plan and a purpose for my life, even at that young age. And over the years, and I look back now and I'm 72, and look at what the Lord has done. And he's given me all these beautiful grandchildren, and we were making gingerbread houses during the week. And I love the opportunities I have with them where I can pray with them. And I'm always encouraging them. I'm always pouring courage into them because I know they're in a generation where they're not going to hear much of this, but I know I can give that to them. I can give them courage and hope and life, and that's what I love to do. So that's a little picture of my grandchildren. So they had lots of fun during the week making the gingerbread houses. So, but you know, I love pouring into them encouragement and pouring that courage into them and giving them that spirit of hope. And you know, there's people here that you do all that all the time, and I know there's another scripture in Romans chapter 1 that I want to share. And it's Romans chapter 1 verse 12. There's not many scriptures that talk about encouragement, but this is one of them. And I wanted to share this one because it talks about the encouragement of sharing each other's faith with one another. And okay, so it's Romans chapter 1, verse 12. "That is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." And that's something we can do. Like Paul was talking here, he longed to go to the brethren in other churches and be encouraged by their faith. But they were encouraged because of his faith, and we do that together as well, you know. There's times when we meet together, you know, we have a seniors group on a Friday, and I love it because there's lots of faith there. There's lots of faith and perseverance, and there's times where we encourage one another, you know, with our faith. And I look at Rita here, and she doesn't say a lot, but but she gives. She gives so much to everyone. And I just want to encourage you all to just get to know Rita and Jerry and others. But they come with a spirit. They mightn't have to say much, but they'll have a smile on their face. And they'll bring that encouragement and give you little gifts. Or she gave me some gingerbread cutters, and I made a nativity scene out of the gingerbread, you know. And but she's always encouraging me like that to do something new, do something with the grandkids. But that's encouragement for me, you know. And Jerry's another one, and you know, you just have to get around Jerry, and she'll just want just talking to her for a minute, and you'll just want to run around the room just with joy in your heart. she just has that effect on everyone. And yeah, so praise the Lord. But that's being encouraged in the faith, you know, and that mutual faith of one another. And I wanted to share about Krisha, and she's another one in our seniors group, and she's been battling cancer for many months now, and I just wanted to share about her. I know she's listening today, but you know, we for months now we've been praying for her and believing for her, and you know, and God's brought her through in victory, and it's beautiful. And on Friday she came to see us, and we weren't allowed to go near her. She came and came out in the car park, and she came and she told us, and this is what she shared, and I just wrote it down. It says, "My cancer is less than 1% and undetectable." So they just got the report back from the doctors that it's undetectable. And she was going to start a maintenance program in February. And that's a victory for her. And I often think of Krisha, because she's someone that we've prayed for, and you know, we've shared words of encouragement to her, but she's encouraged us with courage. She's had so much courage to stand up during these times, and look at what God's done. You know, we had Sorel in India sending her messages, you know, and saying, "Come on, girl, you can do this," you know, and encouraging her. And it was just beautiful, that mutual faith between one another. And I just wanted to share that with you today. And so that's about sharing faith to one another, just like Mary and Elizabeth did to each other, you know, when they were giving birth to those two sons. And you know, we're going to continue to encourage one another and encourage people in this town, in the city of Whittlesea. You know, we're going to need a generation of people that can encourage and pour hope and courage into others, and you know, in all our walks of life. So praise the Lord. And I just want to finish with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And I know it doesn't use the word encouragement here, but I love it because it's something that's really powerful in Philippians. I've used this verse for years when I've prayed, you know, and I've gone through difficult times, and I've always gone back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. So praise the Lord. And I'm just going to read it out to you. "Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honourable and admirable." So it says, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. This is encouragement, okay? "Honourable and admirable. Beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Put into practice the example of all that you have heard from me or seen in my life, and the God of peace will be with you in all things." And I just want to encourage you with that today. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on the Lord, you know, and consider all His ways. And, you know, that's an encouragement to you today. And I've got this book here. It's called My Utmost for His Highest, and it's by Oswald Chambers. And I love his daily readings, because he's from Aberdeen in Scotland. He was born there, and he grew up, and he had a Bible college, and taught at Bible college in Clapham, a Bible training college. And this, he was just around the time of the First World War. In between 1911 and 1915, he had this college in Clapham. But then he went to Egypt with his wife, and he used to be a chaplain for the soldiers there. And he used to bring encouraging words to those soldiers, and it was just amazing what he did in Egypt. He'd meet in huts in the desert. And I just wanted to share this one little passage of scripture or one of his sermons, because it was a daily reading that this book's all about. But it says, the main thing about Christianity is not the work we do, but the relationship we maintain and the atmosphere produced by that relationship. So I'll say that again. The main thing about Christianity is not the work we do, but the relationship we maintain and the atmosphere it produces by that relationship. That is all God asks us to look after, and it is the one thing that has been continually assailed. So God tells us to build those relationships with each other and keep maintaining those relationships. And it's the one area that Satan will have a go at attacking. You know, he doesn't want us to have relationships, but God is saying keep those relationships maintained and keep working on those relationships and pouring that courage into one another as you do that. And I'd like the music team to come up. And we're going to sing Joy to the World. And like I said before, we've had a time of, singing and sharing the Word of God today. And I just want to finish with this song, Joy to the World. And there's one line in it that just speaks volumes to me. And I'd like this to be made a prayer. When we sing it, and it says, let every heart prepare him room. And I know it's a day before Christmas, but this is my word of encouragement today. Will you prepare him room? Even today as we go into Christmas tomorrow. But let that continue for next year and generations after. You know, Mary's song came 2,000 years ago or even longer, you know, when she sang that song, that Magnificat, and that went from generation to generation, even to today. And let us sing that song of joy to the world. And will you prepare your heart to make room for Jesus today, the author and the finisher of your faith. So let's stand and sing joy to the world. Amen.